Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Saxoft Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Saxoft Limited's Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Aditya Krishna, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Neeraj Kumar Ganeriwal, Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to the Managing Director of the company, Mr. Aditya Krishna, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the first quarter of financial year 2025. Let me start off by briefing you on the key business highlights for the first quarter, after which my colleague and CFO, Mr. Neeraj Ganeriwal, will brief you on the financials. As you all might be aware, the IT sector has been facing several headwinds globally. Despite these, I'm pleased to report that we managed to report modest growth during the quarter. We have reorganized our business into four high-growth business units, making us more market-facing and customer-focused. These business units are FinTech, High-Tech Media and Utilities, Transport and Logistics, and Retail E-commerce. Each business unit will be headed by a leader responsible for ensuring that the company stays abreast of market trends and disruptions, as well as for revenue and margin growth. In addition, this change will help us differentiate our offerings as a digital specialist based on domain in a fast-commoditizing industry. Our realignment of business into focus verticals is on the back of our strategy and results obtained in the past thereof. We believe that the more we focus on verticals, the more we grow as a business as we become more market-facing. These verticals will be continued to be supported by horizontal service offerings spanning analytics, data, cloud solutions, legacy modernization, intelligent automation, product application engineering, and quality assurance. As a company, we offer a comprehensive suite of digital transformation services. During the quarter, the company acquired Augmento Labs in June 2024, which is a digital engineering company with focus on High-Tech Media and Utility verticals. Lastly, I'm pleased to inform you that to commemorate our company's 25th anniversary, the Board of Directors have proposed issuance of bonus shares in the ratio of 1:4 to all shareholders. Now, I would request my colleague Neeraj to give you the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Aditya, and good afternoon, everyone. For the first quarter of financial year 2025, revenues were reported at around INR 201 crores, representing a growth of around 10% year-on-year and 3% quarter-on-quarter. The EBITDA stood at INR 35 crores, which grew by around 1% year-on-year and 5% quarter-on-quarter, with the EBITDA margins being at 17.43%. Net profit for the quarter was around INR 26 crores, which grew by around 2% year-on-year and 10.3% quarter-on-quarter, with the profit after tax margins reported at 12.73%. For the revenue split by geography in the current quarter of FY25, the Americas contributed 42% of our total revenues, Europe contributed 24%, while the remaining 34% came from Asia-Pacific and other regions. The on-site revenue mix was 45%, and the offshore was 55%. The revenue split across our verticals for Q1 FY25 is as follows. FinTech contributed about 31%, high-tech media and utilities around 42%, transport and logistics contributed 16%, and retail e-commerce contributed 11%. Now coming to some of our customer metrics, 15 customers contributed to $1 million plus revenue, while 9 were between $500,000 to $1 million USD. The total employee count at the end of the quarter stood at 2,215, out of which 1,987 were technical, with the utilization level of the employees excluding trainings being 85% for the current quarter. With that, we can now open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and please wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from Pratik from AART Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to get a sense that you mentioned that you shall be aiming to achieve a 1,000 crore top line by FY25 with maintaining the margins of 18%. So are we still on track for the same?
That's the objective, Pratik. First quarter, we're a little behind. We are hopeful we can make it up. You know, the whole idea is if you aim big, you'll get close to the target. So it's an aggressive goal, but as of now, at the end of first quarter, we are confident that we'll get close to it, if not at it.
Okay. So I just wanted to understand if we did a top line of 762 odd crores in last financial year. So from there, if we are aiming for a 1,000 crore top line, that indicates upside of almost 27-28% in terms of revenue growth. So where the industry on the other side is growing hardly by 5-10% IT companies, so what is the confidence and what we are exclusively doing or doing differently in compared to our peers that is giving us so much of confidence that we'll be able to achieve a 30% revenue growth?
A few things, Pratik, to keep in mind. I would classify ourselves as a tier 3 technology services company. Not a tier 1 for sure, and neither a tier 2. Our aspirations are to get to a tier 2 by 2030.
Can you please repeat?
No, Pratik, what I said was that we classify ourselves as a tier 3 technology services company.
Okay.
Not a tier 1 like the TCS, the Infosys, Wipros, neither a tier 2. Like the Science or the Birla Softs, or the KPIT. But our aspiration is to get from tier 3 from where we are into the category of tier 2. Now, what that does is it allows us to make some calculated bets towards high growth and hotspots for technology spending, like fintech, like high tech. And if you notice, the verticals that we are spending on or focusing on, two of the four verticals are that. The third one being e-commerce, again, very hot. Technology spend today globally is increasing in these business verticals, in these verticals. So the ability for us to grow becomes better because we have targeted high growth areas. So that's number one. Number two, because we are smaller, we are more nimble, we are more agile, we can also take some bets on emerging technologies like cybersecurity, like cloud, like data and partner with emerging organizations which are still not as established as market leaders. And a lot of our business, we are hoping, will come from this partner ecosystem. So these two pillars will help us grow faster in the industry. You know, that's what, yeah.
Basically, you mentioned the three verticals. One was fintechs, the fintech, the other was e-commerce, and which was the third one?
The third one was e-commerce, retail e-commerce, and the fourth is transportation and logistics. But the high growth, where we are seeing a lot of technology spend, is the first three. Transportation and logistics is seeing a lot of consolidation in the U.S.
So fintech, e-commerce, and the third one?
High-tech.
High-tech, okay. So do you mean to say that the companies which are, largely operating in Tier 1 and Tier 2 don't have their presence in these particular verticals, or the presence is slightly low?
They will have it, but Pratik, you also have to keep in mind the growth from what base. I mean, these are the tier ones are billion-dollar organizations. For them, growing by 2-3% is huge in absolute numbers. You know, whenever there is a headwind, the market leader struggles the most. We are definitely not market leaders.
Okay.
So we are better positioned, being a smaller, more nimble player. We are better positioned to beat the average growth rate of the market. I mean, that's really what I'm saying.
Yeah, got your point, All right, thanks a lot for answering the same.
Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Vinay Menon from Monarch. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So the utilization levels for us are near 85%. So can we expect it to remain here, or do we have some kind of room to even go higher?
I think this is pretty much maxed out, you know.
Okay.
Maybe 100 to 200 basis points in either direction is probably what you will see, but 85% is pretty much where we will remain.
Okay. Okay. So then, sir, like, is there any space in terms of our billing rate or anywhere where we can see some kind of improvements in the rest of the year? Because as we have hit peak utilization, so I'm just trying to understand where the improvements can come from.
One big area they'll come from is our finance minister, if the rupee dollar benefits.
Okay. obviously, that is going to be a big factor. And just a couple of more questions from my side. We have taken a shift towards, you know, high tech, media and utilities as a area of, you know, like where we feel the growth is higher, and fintech space where we used to, which used to be our main focus, that has come down to 31%. But what is the commentary, sir, in fintech? Because a lot of, you know, fintech based IT companies are saying that, you know, there is a little improvement seen, especially in US, Europe. So what would you say on that, sir?
Fintech should not be confused with BFSI. The trend in BFSI is an improvement. Fintech has always been hot because those are the disruptors in the BFSI industry. You know, these are organizations which are focused on credit tech. These are organizations that are focused on payment tech as well as regulatory tech. Our focus is there.
Okay. Okay, and they're still like doing well, right? So, like you say there.
Yes, I mean, if you look at the Economic Times, you look at the second last page, you see the funding that's coming towards fintech organizations. It's tremendous. So, I mean, India is not far behind in terms of new organizations, new companies, new startups in that space. What we have to be careful about is, and you know, this is a fine line that we have to ride is, since a lot of these are startups, we have to be careful that, you know, we don't get stuck with them. You know, when we provide technology services to them, you know, payments, we got to stay on top of payments as well as their funding, because they are based on, you know, their spending is based on their funding patterns. That's the risk there.
Okay. And could that be the reason why our DSO days have also, you know, increased slightly this quarter? Like, any kind of delays from there, you know, in terms of payments?
It could be. I'll just check 1 minute. DSO smell. Margin, I think, Neeraj is saying it's a marginal increase.
Yeah, it's 1 to 65 days. So, just want to, like, see if it is a...
Nothing. I don't
think
there's anything. Yeah, nothing significant.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and so one last question, like, what kind of revenue can we expect from Augmento in FY25? So, like, any amount which you can say?
Approximately 50 crores.
50 crores. And margins would be similar, like 20%, which you had mentioned earlier. So, 20% margins from there?
Yeah, 20%, at least.
At least, okay. Okay, thank you so much, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in a minute.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Miloni Mehta from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions actually. One is related to how has the attrition during the quarter been and how do we anticipate it to be moving ahead? And second is related to, so in one of the, one of our major, like company intends to increase the US revenue mix to around 75%. Which is currently at 42, is what was guided earlier. So, do we have any particular roadmap that you can put some light on?
Other two questions? You said four questions.
No, I said two questions.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. Attrition has been 12% last quarter. And we think it will stay around that number for the remaining year. In terms of U.S. revenue, all our focus, all our investment is happening in the U.S. market towards the objective of getting 45 to 75 because that's our biggest market. That's the most lucrative market, you know, and that's the most forgiving, rewarding market, call it in any way, and the deepest market. We have hired two new sales guys there. They've hit the ground running. One of them has already bagged a Fortune 500 client. We've started work on that this week. So things are looking good. Fingers crossed. And, you know, just to reassure you that that's where the focus is. That's the market where our focus is.
Okay. So will this be particularly skewed towards the transportation and logistics as such or other verticals as well for U.S.?
It's right now the action we are seeing is predominantly high tech and then transportation logistics.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Vikas Srivastav from RBC Financial Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Aditya. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have many questions, so I haven't counted them. Start with one of the previous participant asked. Augmento, you said for 50 crores. My question on Augmento, Aditya, was, is this for 12 months? And from which month of you acquired this in June, right? So are you saying 50 crores in this year starting June? Or is it, do we account for the entire year revenue? What is this 50 crores we are talking about?
So 50 crores divided by 12 multiplied by 10.
All right. Approximately. So if I extrapolated, it will be slightly larger. And is my understanding right? Augmento did about 45 crores as an independent company last year.
Correct.
So you're looking at a 33% growth in Augmento year on year.
Yes, yes.
Would you throw some light on Augmento, its synergy with what you're doing? And obviously it's a little early time for your integration and synergies to come in play, but just a little bit of flavor on what's happening in Avgo.
Yes. We have begun the integration. It's, you know, it's not such a big company which will require us to spend a lot of time on integration. So the support functions are slowly getting integrated. the delivery teams, the good thing is all their customers, barring one, belong to the high-tech media and utilities vertical. So they are already started to fold into that business vertical from a delivery perspective. Account management of their customers is managed by the founders of Augmento, but now reporting to the business head of high-tech media and utilities, and that's becoming actively managed. So I would say so far no surprises, quite a painless integration.
That's good to hear. So what are the synergies which come, Aditya, from Avgo? Avgo was the wrong Augmento. Sorry, my apologies. What are the synergies in terms of are you going to cross-sell more to the client? Is there scale in the client there? Do they have a good sales team? What are you looking at in terms of what, you know, obviously we have, it's a 45-50 crore turnover company, but what do you see the long-term benefit coming out of Augmento in terms of numbers and areas?
Augmento has two fairly large customers. One is a Fortune 100 company. The other is a Fortune 5000 company, and which are both high tech, lots of technology spend, and we are very confident that we can increase the our share of wallet in both these accounts. So one big reason for this acquisition has been these two clients. The second is the capability play. They are very strong in the product, in the digital product engineering space. So this will strengthen our technology or horizontal offering across the four verticals that we have in product engineering. So those are the two synergies.
So would it be safe to assume, I was looking at the Augmento balance sheets, that very easily we could be growing at about 40% per annum from Augmento Plus, Augmento itself and the benefits which go from there or more. Obviously, there's something substantial which could come out of Augmento.
Because the future is always bright. So we are very hopeful. Yeah. I mean, I don't see any warning signs as we speak, but it's early days.
No, I appreciate that. I understand. Okay, that was as far as Augmento was concerned. My next question was, it is good to hear that we are still targeting the 1,000 crores target, which you mentioned on the last call. We've done 200 crores and we are talking about 800 crores this year. In terms of year-on-year in the last three quarters, would you throw some flavor? Of course, we've included the Augmento growth in this. And I know it's a tough question and you may not have an idea, but if I told you, in terms of what you've already acquired, and I include that as organic, and any acquisition during the year, and if something happens, it'll only be 3 months or 6 months. So are we talking of 800 crores organically in this entire year, or some of this could be through an acquisition?
If I look at our pipeline today, Vikas, and our order book, we have from 1,000 crores, we have a gap of 150 crores. This is including Augmento.
So 850 includes Augmento.
Correct.
Okay.
So we have a gap of 150 crores, and for this 150 crores, we have a pipeline. So there is a pipeline a weighted pipeline as well as a non-weighted pipeline of, I would say, approximately the same amount. So the unweighted pipeline would be 150 crores, but the weighted pipeline would be in the range of 50 crores. What I mean by weighted is with the probability depending on which stage the opportunity is at. So it's not that you know, it's a figure in the sky. You know, the whole team is working towards that objective. Some things have to align. We have to have a couple of lucky breaks. I'm happy to inform that we have bagged a high-tech company in California as our customer, you know, a Fortune 100 company, and also a fintech U.S. customer in the credit tech space, which we have been targeting for the last 15 years, has finally opened up. You know, I'm not going to give you the name because the paperwork's going on, Vikas. But,
no, even after that, I won't ask for the name. If it's a company, I won't even ask for it.
Yeah.
So, that's fine. This is good. Yeah. This is very encouraging and very, very good to hear. But, you know, as an investor, I feel good about what I'm hearing.
And the high-tech logo came from a sales guy we hired in California almost, what, 6-7 months ago. So this is his first deal after 7 months. You know, so it takes time for these guys to, you know, bring something in. But, you know, we have to be patient. We have to keep them, you know, motivated. We have to put all our efforts behind making them successful, you know, which is starting to pay off.
Great. So one more question on the sales guy, a sales engine and the sales guy. When was the last you hired a salesperson? And what's the plan for hiring more salespeople in this coming financial year?
We have hired three new sales guys in the U.S. One is the guy who brought this high-tech company in. This was 7 months ago. And two have joined in the month of, you know,
June.
They have joined in the month of June. So very recent hires. One in California, one in New York. And then we've got one guy who's joined us, another senior person who's joined us in the UK. He comes to us from Sweden. He was with Accenture there, and he is relocated and joined our London team, our UK team.
So what do you add? The UK team, this new gentleman who's joined, he's joined in July, or did he join in the last quarter?
He also joined in June or May? June. He also joined Vikas in June.
So these three large investments, which will pay off in future years, what I'm hearing and what I am taking away here is that in spite of the three new investments in June, we will probably start paying in September or October at the earliest. You still are targeting 18% EBITDA for the year. Am I looking at it correctly?
Yes. You're looking at it correctly because we're hopeful Augmenta will give us a better EBITDA than the company-wide.
Got it. You mentioned at the previous... just going back. So what you're telling me that the 1,000 crore we are talking about, the contribution, if any, inorganic acquisition has not been factored in. Can I say that?
New inorganic, correct.
Okay, great. That's even better to hear. Now, you said something about partner ecosystem. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yes. If you look at some of the success stories of tier threes becoming tier twos, like... take the case of KPIT or take the case of Birlasoft. They have partnered in the early days with a hyperscaler, like an AWS or a Salesforce or a ServiceNow. And a lot of their growth has been driven by that partnership. In other words, a lot of leads, a lot of opportunities, a lot of revenue has come through the partner system of the hyperscale. What I mean by that is, if we can identify a challenger or a future star in the technology space that we operate in, which is predominantly digital. For example, if you can identify a company that is going to be a future star in the data and analytics space or in the cloud space, you know, like What's that company that does database on the cloud? Not Databricks, the other one.
Snowflake.
Snowflake. Like Snowflake was, you know, a couple of years ago. If you can identify a few future stars in this, in the digital space, either cloud or data and analytics, and partner with them, a lot of revenue growth and momentum can come through that channel. Because every time their sales team sells that product, we will be the implementation partners or the SI, system integrator for that product.
So have we not already identified these star partners? And I assume that your growth was to come from the partner ecosystem which you've already established.
We have a partner ecosystem which we currently have, but it's like a me too. For example, we are partners to Salesforce, we are partners to ServiceNow. We're building capability in that, and you know, a lot of investment is going into that. But since we are late in the game, no deals come from these organizations to us. They go to their old partners. What we are missing is a new star partnering with them early so that we can ride onto their or hang onto their coattails.
Got it, got it. Thank you very much. Thank you. This is very, very encouraging. Thanks, Aditya. I think things are looking good. I'll come back in the queue if I have any further questions.
And Vikas, thank you for, you know, all the confidence and the guidance as well as the support. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Hiloni G from Hexagon Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, congratulations on the great set of numbers. My first question is that are we seeing any visibility in terms of health tech projects, med tech, health tech?
No, we're not, because with the focus on the other four verticals, this has sort of got...
I think we spoke like a couple of quarters back when we were trying to see something in the health tech space, if I'm not wrong.
Correct. That didn't work out, and I think this is a sector which we have sort of parked, not going to focus on it excessively for now.
Okay, got it. Any other acquisitions that we are looking at? I think we were in the Q3, we decided like that we'll do a two or three acquisitions every quarter. So forward looking, where are you planning to, you know, do the acquisitions and what segments?
We're always talking to, you know, potential targets. Hopefully something will come out. But, you know, we don't have that much money with us now to make a big play. So it will be if whatever we do will be a small capability play, nothing else.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Vikas Srivastav from RVC Financial Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Aditya, what are we doing? What is the trend in terms of the quality of investor, institutional interest in the company? How's the trend going there, and what is the company doing in terms of dissemination of information, engaging with with investors? Is there a strategy going forward? Because at the end of the day, you know, the company, the exposure, the stock options are all intertwined in our growth plans.
I'm glad you asked that, Vikas. I'm gonna push that question to Valorem Advisors who are on this call. What are they doing for us to get more visibility for our stock? Anuj, are you there?
He may not be there currently on the
call.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Vikas, not much interest from institutional investors. Only thing that we see is a lot of calls. We have a call scheduled in September with HDFC Securities. They have shown some interest. Last month, we had a call with Kotak Securities. They had shown a lot of interest, and a lot of their clients, especially PMS clients, were on the call. As of today, we have over 100,000 shareholders. But are there any mutual funds, FIIs? I think there are a few 4% FIIs. Which FIIs are there?
Multiple. One major, not more than 2%.
No big blue chip, Vikas.
Well, that's good. That's the way the process is, Aditya. I think it's par for the course. Is there an outreach? Does the management team, for example, if there's interest from HDFC or the other PMS, does the team travel to Mumbai? I'm assuming most of these people, at the end of the day, face-to-face meetings, presentations, maybe your team sitting in Chennai. I was just thinking that something a little more structured in Mumbai, maybe once in 3 months, because as far as I think this is a normal process. The phase, I think, suddenly things change, critical mass develops, and people get very excited. And where the company is today and what we're heading for, I think it may help. It's an investors' call. I shouldn't be giving advice here. But is there an investors' outreach? Do we have conferences? Pre-arranged conferences in Mumbai. Is there a plan? All I'm saying is there a plan? And of course, you have one advisor who's on the call today, but is there a more structured, focused plan for this?
There is a structured, focused plan. In fact, the team, including myself, we travel to Mumbai. I won't say every quarter. We travel at least, twice a year to meet potential investors and people who are interested in the company. We do that. I think it would be right to say, Vikas, that we need to do more of this. And the action is really Mumbai. We have to meet more people there.
Yeah, just I would just conclude by saying, end of the day, the stock option, the value of the stock option, all that, it's completely intertwined with, and here I think we are doing great here. And I'm not saying it's a slope, it's something which will happen overnight, but over the next 2 years, this could be a game changer in terms of our interest in our stocks, our better hiring, better quality people. I think the whole thing then percolates to a very different level. So that's the limited point I was making here in terms of, the Mumbaian structure the timing is right. I'm not disappointed at what's happening. I'm saying that it should happen now in the next year or two.
Point taken.
No further questions. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's great, and I'm it's very positive. Look forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Amit Jain from Monarch. Please go ahead.
Hello, Aditya. Hello.
Hi, Amit.
Hello. Sorry. Am I audible? Hello.
We can hear you, Amit.
Oh, okay. Aditya, I think most of the questions have been answered. More on the, on the industry, about the industry, how the industry is moving. So, Aditya, just want to understand, we have a lot of service offerings. So, we are in, we have talked about cloud, cybersecurity, testing, legacy modernization, and all data analytics. So, just want to understand, can we just get us some sense that which service offerings gives us in some kind of revenue breakup, or it will be difficult because there could be some overlapping. Why I'm asking so, because you have mentioned about about the product engineering side also. So just want to understand about the revenue pie from all these service offerings. And are there any gaps which we are trying to fill up?
Yes. we have the four verticals, business verticals, which, you know, I've told you, which are fintech, transportation, logistics, high tech, media, utilities, and e-commerce. Across these four verticals are the horizontals of data and analytics, testing, digital product engineering or digital engineering, and infrastructure. Infrastructure is an area where we have a few white spaces, especially around cybersecurity. The other place we have some white spaces is in the digital product engineering, you know, which has been covered to some extent by the Augmento acquisition. There are also some white spaces in the data analytics space, you know. So we are trying to see how we can cover these gaps. We're quite hopeful that with internal investment, a few capability acquisitions, we will be able to keep making these offerings more robust.
And Aditya, is it possible if you can just say which one contributes the most in terms of, or it will be difficult to say, like, how much digital product engineering is contributing to our overall revenue?
Neeraj will give you some numbers, We have those numbers.
So, Amit, digital engineering, which is the product engineering capability, that gives almost 45% of our revenues. The QA and the testing, that's about 15%. And the balance comes between data and infrastructure.
Understood. And Aditya, is there any plan? Because there's a lot of buzzword about this product engineering side. So are we aiming to increase the share of this vertical, this service offering?
Honestly, the focus is not that so much. The focus really is, how can we, Amit, the way we sell is not technology focused. We sell business focused. In other words, take the case of fintech. We go to potential customers or prospects in fintech, and the way we approach them is we say, look, in the last 3 years, of 4 years, we have solved these business challenges. Just one. We have solved X number of business challenges for our customers in this space. And typically what happens is with that approach, it resounds with the prospect, because the prospect is also struggling either with a similar problem, you know, or exactly the same problem. And we're able to open a conversation. So the approach is a business approach, you know. At the end of it, we always believe that technology is only an enabler. It is an enabler to solve a business problem. So you have to lead with the business problem. And today customers want to deal with a technology supplier who understands their business challenges and is not just selling them a technology solution. Because at the end of it, we are a service company. We're not a product company.
Right. Understood. So, Aditya, when you mentioned about the fintech company, so let's say you go to a credit rating agency, a company like credit rating agency, and so are we in a position, we can say to the company that, yes, we can provide all the solutions to all the problems that you have. So if we are a complete solution provider to all the business challenges here, are we in a position to say, let's say in fintech space, where we can say we can provide all the solutions for this space?
Fintech is a very large space. So we operate in three sub-verticals in fintech: payment tech, regulatory tech, and credit tech. In those three sub-verticals, we can make that statement.
Understood. Thanks, Aditya. Thanks.
Welcome, Amit.
Thank you, sir. That was the last question. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
We thank everyone for taking our time to participate in this call and for your interest in SACSoft. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. In case of any other queries, please reach out to us or our investor relations advisors, Valorem Advisors. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ventura Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may all disconnect your lines now.